Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Where do we go from here? Now that all of the children are growing up, then how do we spend our lives if there's no one to lend us a hand?
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chetfield, talking about the events leading up to the Civil War. So there was all kinds of debate going on at the time. The country was obviously split, but more importantly, this seemed to be more of a kind of a state or territorial issue at the time. It hadn't grown to affect the entire country as of yet.
Well, yes, that's another thing I want to mention. Sectionalism, much more than today, although we are a sectional country, but not as much as back then. In other words, back then, I mean, there was no Republican Party at all in the South. There was no Republican Party in the 1850s, basically non-existent. And the Republican Party was a Northern party. The Democratic Party was a Southern-dominated party, but there were Northerners that were Democrat. Now, get how they split, and that's a big deal. But we were very sectionalized. Today, we're not as nearly as sectionalized. I mean, there's some conservatives in New York and Massachusetts, and there's liberals in South Carolina. But back then, it was not so. I mean, it was the country was sectionalized. Here's another event that happened. It's a big deal, I think. There was a senator, a Charles Sumner, who made a speech in the Senate. He was from New York, and he insulted Southerners, and he basically insulted a relative of House of Representatives guy whose name was Preston Smith. He got offended. He went into the Senate and walked up behind Sumner and basically wailed on him, almost killed him. Sumner was from Massachusetts, not New York. Okay, but anyway, from the North. Almost killed Sumner. And it was like, whoa, violence right here? Brooks was sent a whole bunch of new canes because he broke his cane on Sumner's head. Now, Sumner was, by all accounts, arrogant idiot. I mean, he was provoking things and insulting Southerners and their honor. And Southerners still had this sense of honor. You don't insult us, and you don't insult my cousin who was a senator. And basically, Brooks almost killed him. And nothing ever happened over this. And so now people in the chambers, both the Senate and the House of Representatives, were bringing guns and knives. And there was no chit-chat across the aisles anymore. And that's a bad deal when you can't even chit-chat. You can't even play golf together. That's not good. And so that really increased tensions. There's one historian said this. I think it's probably true. He said, Stephen Pulao said, the caning had an enormous impact on the events that followed over the next 4 years. As a result of the caning, the country was pushed inexorably and unstoppably to civil war. And I think that's true. By the way, the biggest reason we had a civil war, it was the will of God, in my view. And Lincoln said this in his second inaugural. The Civil War had to happen to pay for the sins of slavery. And there are all these issues that were making it the South and the North drifting or moving farther and farther apart very quickly, very quickly. There was a abolitionist who basically swore that he was going to abolish slavery. It's the last thing he did. His name was John Brown. He had been in Kansas and had killed some Southerners in Bleeding Kansas, partook in that Civil War. He gets a group of people together, including some of his sons and some freed slaves. He goes to Harper's Ferry, at the time Virginia, to capture the federal arsenal there. He does capture the arsenal. His plan breaks down. The President Buchanan sends Robert E. Lee, who was still in the Union, to Virginia. They put down the rebellion. John Brown is hung, as his co-conspirators are. I mean, he had this idea he was going to march through the South and one plantation after another, arm the slaves, free them, and they were going to rise up and throw off their masters. Wasn't going to happen. Foolish idea. But what it did do, it irritated the South so much, and they said, see, John Brown's a Republican. This is what the Republican Party will do. They're going to start a slave rebellion in the South. Now, Abraham Lincoln in the Cooper Union address in 1860, I think February of 1860, says, John Brown was no Republican. Lincoln hated what he did, as did most Republicans, but it made the South think that the North was filled with abolitionists, and they were going to come up and, by force, free all the slaves and start a slave rebellion. And it's just another one of those things. Again, the Dred Scott decision, the Supreme Court decision of 1857. Dred Scott was a slave. He was brought, his master owner was in the military. He had taken him to Minnesota. After his master died, he sued and said, I was living in a free state. I'm free. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. All the way to the Supreme Court. And Roger Taney and the majority said this, nope, you're not free, Mr. Scott. As a matter of fact, slavery cannot be outlawed in the territories at all. And that you basically say your property, slavery is recognized in the Constitution. And he came very close to saying that slavery was legal in the whole country. The North hated this Dred Scott decision. The South loved it. Northerners, again, said, we're not going to follow this. We're never going to have slavery in the North. And see, then the South said, see, you guys won't obey the law. You're calling us insurrectionists when you won't obey the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said you can't ban slavery in the territories. And that a black person is essentially slavery, and they have no rights. See, you're not obeying the law. So all these things are really tearing the country apart. Let me go back to the Lecompton Constitution in Kansas. Buchanan, the president, he endorsed Lecompton Constitution. This is 1857. He says, yes, I recognize it. Kansas will be a slave state. Stephen Douglas from Illinois says, no, even though I believe in popular sovereignty, it's fraudulent. The vote, this was a sham. The vote was a sham. No, I'm not recognizing it. So there was a split between Buchanan and Douglas. Fast forward to the 1860 convention. Douglas basically is nominated as president, but the Southern Democrats say, we're not going to have Douglas. They withdraw from the convention. They have their own convention, and they nominate the vice president Buchanan to be their nominee. And so now the Democratic Party is divided. Hence, in the election of 1860, Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, gets 40% of the popular vote. But because the Democratic Party was so divided between Breckinridge, the sitting vice president, and Douglas, the senator from Illinois, they divided the vote. Lincoln's elected in a electoral college landslide, but he only has 40% of the popular vote. When that happens, South Carolina says, that's it, we're pulling out of the Union. They did. The Deep South states did until the firing of Fort Sumter, which obviously that's the very beginning of the war. And then when Lincoln calls out for 75,000 volunteers to put down the rebellion, Virginia, Tennessee, and other of the more moderate states, they withdraw from the Union or attempt to withdraw from the Union and say that, you know, we can't fight against our sister states in the South. Hence, we have a civil war.
Wow. Well, you know, the thing of it is, and like you mentioned, God's divine plan, there had to be atonement. There had to be a healing. You know, there were so many arguments about, like you mentioned, you know, the Constitution allowed it. The founding fathers owned slaves. I mean, it was a horrible time in our country's history, but it was part of it. And then, like you say, blood had to be spilled and things needed to be atoned for. And ultimately, that's, I believe, too, that was the basis for it.
Yes, it is. In the end. Yes, absolutely. Again, you've heard me say this. Thomas Jefferson said, slavery is like holding a wolf by the ears. You know you can't hang on forever, but you dare not let it go. They didn't know what to do. In the South, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, they all knew slavery was evil, but they had slaves. Now, Washington freed his slaves upon his death. Jefferson was too deep in debt to do it. They could see slavery was wrong, was a moral evil. But it had grown so much and was so important to the economy of the South that to try to move to emancipation would, you couldn't be elected anything in the South. And by 1850, by 1850, you couldn't even speak out against slavery. It was considered seditious, or you were you're a violator of the peace. It was a bad deal. You couldn't even speak against it. And the moral division was profound. Here, Lincoln said this in his first inaugural. He said, "The only major difference between the North and the South is this." He said, "People of the South believe that slavery is good and ought to be extended. People in the North believe it is bad and ought not to be extended. This is the only substantial difference," which is a huge difference. Some people think it's good, the Southerners, and ought to be extended into the territories and new states. People in the North say it's bad and ought to be restricted. Now, it is a huge difference when you have such a moral disagreement about something as fundamental as slavery. By the 1850s, there was no Southern virtually no Southern politician that would stand up and say slavery is bad. You wouldn't be a Southern politician. You wouldn't be elected to anything. See, so when you have moral differences of opinion, they're so profound. I don't see how nothing could have. The war had to happen. It just had to. It is the way it is. And it did, I think, purge our country of our sin of slavery. And it took 600,000 people being killed to do that. And it was brought upon the North and the South. North and South.
Had to happen and put it to rest once and for all.
Right.
Final segment wrap up with Pastor Chatfield. I'm Trucker Randy. Short break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithin is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Axe My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axemytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axemytax.org.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithin, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The gun doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithin of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the gun doctor.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of our discussion, history lesson with Pastor Chatfield today. Any final thoughts to wrap up this history lesson for us, Pastor Chatfield?
Now that we're looking backward, we can see these things. We are in the midst of history right now, and we're a very divided country. There's some similarities and there's some dissimilarities. I just want to make a careful comment about Senator Slotkin, okay, our senator. And on the one hand, what she said, by and large, is true. What do I mean by that? I am not obligated, anybody in the military is not obligated to follow an unconstitutional command, ever. That much is true. That is true. It's in our the instructions to the military, and it's the fundamental. They take an oath to the Constitution. That's true. On the other hand, to bring it up and to actually say it creates instability. And I don't know her heart, why she would do such a thing, but she should know a little bit about history. You start opening up a can of worms like that, that can be very dangerous. It's very dangerous to say things like that. There you go. Get out there and make a video of it so that people of the military start seeing it. I find it ironic that the same political party that basically says that the Supreme Court is supreme on everything are now telling basically military people to nullify a command of the commander-in-chief. I get it. In the end, we're all nullifiers. I'm not going to do anything against the Constitution or against the Bible, granted. But that said, boy, you got to be more careful with your words, because it is, it makes me wonder, is there things going on in the military now? Or is there an underground current happening here? Who knows? I do not know.
Right.
But well, boy, when she opened up something that is now, I think, dangerous. That's all I'm going to say.
And the point of the matter is, like you say, you're a soldier and you're not an attorney, and you don't know whether a law is a constitutional law, unconstitutional law, an order is given. Now all of a sudden, the six of them collectively, kind of put a question mark into the military, the intelligence community, into their heads that, do I have to think about this, you know, order? Do I have to think about this command? Is this something now I'm subject to having to be an attorney and interpret this order before I perform it. And like many people have said, that leads to indecision, and sometimes people can get hurt or even killed.
Well, but yes, Andrew Jackson said, I have a right to interpret the Constitution as I read it, as much as the Supreme Court does.
Right.
Okay, so you see, there's two sides to this. There's two sides to this. My question, couldn't she go to the president privately and say, do you understand what's happening here? Maybe not. Maybe we've come to the point you can't even. You just got to be careful with your words. This is stirring things up. That much is true. You must be very careful with your words. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
I don't want to stir anything up.
Well, you know, many are arguing that the shooting that took place, you know, was this in response to that video? Was people, you know, Charlie Kirk's assassination, the attempt on President Trump? You know, it seems like, you know, a lot of this is happening right now when we haven't. I don't remember an attempted assassination that drew blood on a presidential candidate. A major voice gets assassinated in public, and now we have a shooting of military people in Washington D.C. I don't ever remember this many use of firearms, committing assassination attempts, and actually committing murder.
I get that. We do have a First Amendment. I'm not saying that they don't have a right to say it. I'm questioning the wisdom who say it
of two saying
the,
it
and the two saying it. Is that wise to do that? That's my question. Yes, we are all have to listen. Everybody from county commissioner on, I assume county commissioner. I know state reps do, and senators. We take an oath to the Constitution, of course. Sure. All the military take an oath, of course. But to bring that up in this situation, is that wise? Is that helping? Not sure. Not sure, Senator. That was a wise thing to do.
Yeah. Well,
Not sure.
I heard Tudor Dixon on Fox News saying that she believes that a lot of people are going to remember this come the 2030 election, that a candidate running against her is going to use it against her. She may be, you know, voted out of office because of it. God only knows if people will remember it, you know, basically 5 years from now. But that's what she's saying. She said it was over the top, and they should have never done it. And now look at the ramifications as a result of it. So we'll see. But one of the things I do want to ask you about, we've had some technology problems in the studio. We've got those resolved. We broadcast church for the first time last Sunday. Technical issues were still prevalent. I've been told those listening to the station up on 97.7, we have those resolved now. We're good to go for this Sunday. What do you plan, based in light of everything that's going on, what do you plan to be talking about in church on this Sunday?
Well, you know, I had a message all kind of prepared, but I think I will address this from a biblical perspective, what we're talking about today. I'm not going to go through all the history again.
Right.
But, you know, we got to be careful. Got to be careful with your words, everybody. Senator, be careful with your words. Please, be careful. We do have a First Amendment, that's true, but be careful.
Amen. Very good, sir. We'll see you on the radio at 11 o'clock this Sunday.
All right, look forward to it.
Final hour of today's show. I'm Trucker Randy. We'll be right back.